Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
He is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. An incredible prophecy of the time when Jesus would show up on earth. It was Sheriff Lloyd Prescott. It was some years ago. He was doing a law enforcement training class he was teaching in the city library in Salt Lake. And he came out during a break, and he noticed going down the hallway is a guy with an automatic weapon with a group of 18 people that he was making go into a room. And you know what Lloyd did? Lloyd just filed in with the group, walked down and filed in with them and went into the room. And when the gunman was telling everyone how he was going to start executing everybody in the room, Lloyd announced his presence and shot and killed that man. Well, we're kind of trapped in a world, too, that's broken, that nobody gets out of alive, you know what I mean, as far as physically. And so we're scared of the world in which we live, and we're scared of the real God. We all talk about our fears. Everybody has fears, and if we would all tell the truth, God himself is kind of scary. I remember the big strong boy Joe, he was helping me. The church group was working for Henry Covington downtown Detroit at I Am My Brother's Keeper Ministry down there. Henry's in heaven. Annette, we still support her. She's still going on with it, pastoring that place, Pilgrim Church, down there in the Cass Corridor. We were down there redoing some of their bathrooms for them to help them with their building. And Joe and I were in there, and Joe's a strapping dude, you know. This guy was like walking testosterone is what he was. He was a tough dude, man. And we were in there, yeah, we're going to tear that out of there, we're going to do this here, and we're going to do that. Come on, Nancy, let's go. He's yelling at these guys, telling them what to do. Until he saw a mouse inside the building. He went outside, and he would not go back in. I'm not going in there. I'm not going in. We all have fears, but I'm telling you, that's just the stuff we talk about. Somebody says, if you've never stood in the presence of God and been afraid, you've probably never stood in the presence of God. It's like having a lion loose in the room. Okay, it's scary stuff. It is scary. You remember Isaiah, the prophet who we just quoted, that Matthew quoted here too. When God appeared to Isaiah and he saw God on his throne with the angels declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I'll tell you what happened. Isaiah said, "I am a dead man," is what he said. "I'm an unclean man, and I live among people with unclean lips," is what he said. I mean, even what we say is awful. We feel pretty good when we start measuring ourselves against other people. But when you start measuring yourself to the holiness of God, it will freak you out, because we're all in trouble when it comes to that. So here we are. We're trapped in a broken world, and we're scared of the real God. Here's another thing. We're all not very smart either. We think somehow we can figure this all out on our own. It cracks me up when somebody tells me, you know, "I'm not a Christian, but I am very spiritual." What that means when they say they're spiritual, it means they're their own God. They're going to figure it out on their own. Are you kidding me? We need revelation, man. You're not going to find this information on your own. We're not the smartest people. I got to tell you, I don't go there very often, but the guitar store, I was there yesterday. And went to see my buddy Marty. What are you laughing at? Anyhow, so I went to see my buddy Marty, and I love him. He is my brother from another mother. So he is my very favorite Iranian Jewish guy. Marty couldn't go back. If he'd go over, they would have absorbed him into the Iranian army. He married a Jewish girl and converted to Judaism. And what is so moving to me is I'll go in there, and he'll have a Christmas tree. He'll have a menorah. And he goes, "Look at you and me, Tom, right there. Look at us. There we are." I love that guy. He's just such a dear friend of mine. What was I telling you? Oh, so I'm in the back of the store. I'm in the back, you know, where all the pedal effects and all the electronics are and all that stuff. And there's this guy standing at the counter. And you know, you're doing Christmas shopping, right? You know, when you're Christmas shopping and you're not all stressed out, you start having the memories of Christmas past and what it was like when you were a kid. And this guy in the back, he's buying something for somebody, I don't know. And he's talking to the guys, a couple of the guys that work there. Yeah, man, he says, I remember back when I was in kindergarten, man. I went to Crowfoot School in Pontiac. And he said, I was in kindergarten. I guess I was 7 years old. And I went, and I had to leave. And I died out in the front row, 7 years old. He wasn't the brightest bulb in the Christmas tree, okay? That's what I mean, none of us are. We're trapped in a broken world, and we're scared to death of the real God. And I guess the best way to put it, we all have a spiritual learning disability that's built into each of us because of our fall, because of the brokenness of the human race. We're all in trouble because of that. I remember at Webster School when I was a little kid. I was in kindergarten. I think I was 4 and a half. I'm only kidding. I'm lucky I wasn't 12, you know. But I remember, Mrs. Keeler there taught 40 years at Webster. Well, in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I had Mrs. Jones. And she was tough. Some days she'd just lose her mind and yell for a long time. Not really the politically correct way of teaching now. It was tough being a little kid. And I remember the principal would come in sometimes and would observe her class, because that means they'd gotten, like, complaints. Dr. Snyder would come in. She'd come in, sit in the back, and Mrs. Jones would become, okay, now, children. And she'd become this, where'd she go? You know, we didn't know where she went. Anyhow, I had a learning disability, I had a reading disability, and I'll never forget what she did for me. Me and two other boys, she would spend extra time with. They would call that special reading class now. But she would sit with us and help us read out loud, scared the daylights out of me to do anything public. And it just scary. But I remember the three of us were struggling. She took the book from us, and she read the book to us, and we got it. So she started spending segments in our class reading a story to us every day, a section. As we'd go through that, changed my life, opened up the world of reading to me, helped me not be so afraid, helped me slow down my ADD mind and pay attention and absorb what was on the page. We all have a disability, you guys. We're trapped in a broken world, and we're scared to death of the real God. That is why Jesus came. You remember when the Magi came, they brought gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of it was, of course, cash money in those days for them to be able to run to Egypt because Herod was going to try to kill the child. But theologians for years have talked about those three things. They represent Jesus being a king. We talked about last week. Frankincense was the sign of the prophet, the one who was going to come. And this is what it says here in Matthew: the people living in darkness have seen a great light. We're not talking about literal darkness. We're talking about ignorance of the real God and what he was really like. When Messiah was come, they said he will teach us all things. They were expecting him to come and explain true and living God to them. Jesus came to be that. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. To me, that is just beautiful. Listen, you can't deduct your way out of the darkness into the light. You are not that smart. If you can, you will live your whole life like so many that I know that thought they could somehow read everything. And by the way, we read everything. I mean, we open up all the doors and windows. Myron and I read everything. But if you think you're going to get your meaning of life from that, and you're going to find out what's really around you and why you're really here and all of that, you're only going to get that from Jesus. He came here to show us, to turn the light on for us. Debbie and I were decorating our third Christmas tree last night. I'm exhausted. I start up the stairs and I turn the light off at the bottom instead of the top. And I got about three steps and I said, I'm not going back down. I figured this out. So I tried making it up the rest of the way. The stairs that I've walked up and down like a billion times in the 31 years of living in that house. Well, I forgot all the stuff I'd left on the stairs, okay? Because I'm lazy. I'm a man. You girls understand that. So I let some stuff on the stairs. I'll take care of that. But right now, it's going there. So I stepped in about six things and fell back about three stairs, and I didn't let Debbie know. But I didn't know if she heard the boop in the staircase or not. Turn the light on, man. Jesus came to turn the light on for all of us. I love this. He shows us where we are, the lay of the land, shows us what's real instead of just what we imagine in our minds in the darkness. You know, people that lose their ability to see imagine what things must be like, and it's never what it really is like. When they receive their sight back, it's not what... You hear somebody telling a story, a book on tape, and when you actually see the person that's from that book, you go, that doesn't look like anything. Like, we can't deduct that stuff. We're in the dark. The light has to be turned on. And I love this. It says, a light to those sitting in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. He turned the light on. I love that. And by the way, it's a dawning. It's not a light bulb. That means the sun has eternally come up. The information's available. Jesus came and he entered our darkness. Something else, he also entered our confusion. The book of Hebrews, let me read you this from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 is just wonderfully straightforward. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. And he goes on to explain that Jesus himself is God in the flesh. But anyhow, he entered our confusion. God has spoken to us by his Son. Back to Isaiah, chapter 9 has so much about the Messiah that was going to be coming. But one thing he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor. We always talk about the Prince of Peace and the other descriptions, Almighty God, but we never talk about he is the Wonderful Counselor. You want meaning in your life, you want purpose, and you want to understand how all of this works. You're only going to find it in the person of Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You just won't. I have a counselor, a friend of mine. She's precious, man. And when I'm extra confused about a situation, I will call her and we'll have a long conversation about the situation I'm in and what should I do. And she gives me incredible advice. And it wasn't long ago I said to her, you are a wonderful counselor. Okay? And it hit me. I thought of that verse in Isaiah. Jesus came here as the prophet. That means to tell us about the real God so that we can understand it, because we're afraid of the real God, right? And we're confused. He came to clear up that confusion by telling us the truth. Now, we'll never know everything, of course. If you can understand everything about God, God doesn't exist because he's at your level. You're equal to him. But it's substantial and real and complete. Something happened with Jesus one time during his life. He took Peter and John, and they went up on a mountain. And Jesus, they called it the Transfiguration. What happened was Jesus... his person began to glow. That's got to freak you out. And then Moses and Elisha showed up. Those guys that are like long gone. Elisha was, of course, taken up before he died in a chariot of fire. Moses did die. And they're all of a sudden present with Jesus, talking about what's to come and about Jesus' crucifixion. Well, that'll freak you out. Okay, come on. They were all scared absolutely to death. And then this cloud envelops them, and a voice from the cloud says, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Isn't that something? So then they fall on the ground. Of course, they freak out. They fall on the ground, cover their faces. And then Jesus comes over and says, hey, come on, guys. And they open their eyes, and everything's back to normal. And they say, and it says, and they saw Jesus only. That's a pretty good vision to have. Listen to him. He entered this darkness, and he entered this confusion that we all go through. He came here to be face to face with us. Joe Torme is an old catcher and announcer in Pittsburgh. And when he was named manager, he was having a conversation. I was just a little kid. But, well, younger kid. Anyhow, they, Joe is talking to the New York Yankee announcer, and the announcer goes, "You know, Joe, I always thought that if you should manage from up above, like up here at the press box, you look down and you could have a headset and tell everybody what to do. That's a better place to manage." And Torme said, "No, you can't do that, because upstairs you can't look your players in the eye." That is exactly what Jesus did. He came here and looked us in the eye in the midst of our confusion. One more thing. He entered into our fears. Stephen, the great apostle, before he was murdered for preaching a sermon in Jerusalem just after Jesus was resurrected from the dead and went back to heaven, in the midst of his sermon, he said something. He said about Jesus, "This is what Moses told you Israelites about. Quote, I will send you a prophet like me from your own people." He's quoting this section from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord, through Moses, says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers." But Moses adds this, "You must listen to him." Do you see that? It is so important. He entered our fears. And here's, so Moses spoke to them, and he's talking about God said this to them when he had the nation of Israel, after they came out of captivity in Egypt as slaves. God had the whole nation of Israel that had been rescued from Egypt to go to Mount Horeb. And God said, "I will speak to them." And so they all gathered around that mountain that day, and the thunder and the lightning and the peace. And God told everybody, "You got to stay so far back from the mountain. If anybody touches the mountain, they're going to die." And that's what the Israelites thought. They saw this and they heard this and they said, "Don't have God talk to us anymore. We're going to die." And Moses said, and the Lord says, "I'm going to send you a prophet like Moses, and you've got to listen to him then." That started way back then. And that prophet came. His name is Jesus. He entered our world, experienced this place, and took the whole curse of the place on himself. He entered these terrible fears of ours and came, and we got to talk to him. People got to be around him. He was one of us. He was both God and man. I mean, unbelievable. You know, John Howard Griffin, you might have remembered him. He was trying to understand what it was like in 1959 for African Americans in the South and what discrimination and abuse was like built into that culture. And so he darkened his skin through medication, through sun lamps, through creams. And then he started traveling the South, and he wrote a book called Black Like Me. He entered that world. He took on the discrimination. And as having been a white man and then turning himself into a black man to experience it, it changed the attitude of America by that book. It was in that big civil rights movement that the church was out in front of, and beautifully so. It was the right thing. He came and became one of them. Well, Jesus came and became one of us. Incredible. He entered into our fears. He entered into our confusion. He entered into our darkness. That's why he came. Baby in Bethlehem. So yesterday I'm burying Larry. Larry is a neat guy. You know, he wouldn't be measured up as much in this world. He was a shade tree mechanic, loved working on old Chevys. He'd beat on them and cuss and skin his knuckles and try to fix stuff. And came from a really tough background. He lived on Tennyson Street in Pontiac. His mother died when he was 14. Dad had died some years before. And the dude, he and his sisters, they just started scrounging for food for years. They all tried to get to whatever jobs they could get to make any kind of money to keep the lights and the heat on in the house, to pay the property taxes, and to have food. Everybody expected him to go to school, and oh, he didn't do very well in school. But he came out, got a job as a painter, worked on cars out in his garage. You might think that his life isn't much. During that funeral yesterday, something amazing happened. There's a girl named Anna. I noticed her when she came in because she was lovely, probably 24, 25 years old. Long, flowing, wavy, dark hair. Probably some Hispanic background in her DNA. lovely girl, had two little girls, her two daughters with her, and two other little girls that were with her that day. And her two little girls had their little stuffed animals, and they came for the funeral. And people are telling their stories about Larry, but then she came up and she said, "Pastor, can I tell my story?" And she got up and in the most beautiful way said, "The greatest gift in my life was that when I was a little girl, I moved in next door to Uncle Larry." She said, "My world was not safe. My mother," she said, God rest her soul, "had men coming and going all the time. And those men just didn't restrict their activity to my mother." She said, "My world was not a safe place. But Larry lived next door. And one day he saw her outside and said, 'Hey, what are you doing?' And talked to her." She said, "He talked to me like I mattered." And she was maybe four. And she would start going over, and Larry's always in that greasy garage of his under a car cranking on something, fixing. And she'd want to know what he was doing. She said he would tell me everything about fixing cars. I had no idea what he was talking about. But he was talking to me, and nobody talked to me. She said sometimes at night, my mother would give me a bath and put me in my nice, clean, new pajamas. And then she would come and check on me an hour later, and I'd be gone, and she knew right where to look. She'd go outside, go over to the garage, go in, and I'd be laying under a car somewhere on the greasy floor with Larry while Uncle Larry was fixing something. She said he was my safe place. Isn't that beautiful? She said that early mornings she would get up, and Larry would get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And he always got up before the rest of his family, for his wife and kids. He'd drink coffee alone in their kitchen. Well, this little girl, Anna, would get up because she saw the light on in the kitchen. She would run across to Larry's house and go in. And Larry'd set her up on the stool next to him at the little kitchen bar thing and get her a glass of milk and some cereal. And they would have breakfast together. And he would talk to her, you've guessed it, about cars. And she still didn't know what he was talking about. "Yeah, Mrs. Jones going to bring her Chevy over. We're going to do a front brake job on that. Got to get those rotors turned." I mean, she had no idea. She said, "The greatest gift that anyone ever gave me in my life is that when he would see me, he would say, 'There's my girl.'" She said, "Whenever he would say, 'There's my girl,' it would make me on my inside believe that the world was a better place because I was in it." What a gift. She came from that background. She is such a light where she lives. Precious girl. Wonderful mother, loving wife, incredible neighbor. Just became this beautiful person because some old dude with orange greasy hands that he could never get clean loved her and called her my girl. And treated her like a little princess. Isn't that precious? Jesus came to this world. And he saw you and said, "There's my girl. There's my boy." He came for us so that we would not be confused and afraid of God and confused in our darkness. He came for us. God bless you at this Christmas. May we never forget it. Let's stand together to pray. Shall we? Come on, stand up. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us the truth. And I ask that you'd help each of us today as we take this crazy busy season, and also, Lord, there's so many here that have lost their loved ones. And for so many of us, our lives are so altered because of the circumstances of our life that what used to be a happy time really isn't. But may we turn it to you, because it's the most incredible time because of you coming here for us in our darkness and confusion and fear. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We ask for your blessing on everyone here. Unite our hearts and fill us with the joy of what Christmas means. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.